You're listening to Now I've Heard Everything, conversations with the icons of our time.
Getting a poem published in the New Yorker, that's a huge feat. That to me, if I had got a poem in the New Yorker, that would be bigger to me than if I was nominated for an Academy Award.
Actress and writer Amber Tamblyn, today on Now I've Heard Everything. I'm Bill Thompson. Some might say Amber Tamblyn was born to be an entertainer. Her father is actor and dancer Russ Tamblyn. Her mother's a singer and a teacher. Her grandfather was in vaudeville. From the age of 12, when she joined the cast of TV's General Hospital, Amber Tamblyn's talent has made her a popular and award-winning actress. But she's also well known for her writing, especially her poetry. She has actually published 7 books, including the 2009 collection called Bang Ditto. It was while she was on tour promoting that book that I had a chance to meet her and to hear what her priorities are, what really matters to her in her creative life. So here now, from 2009, Amber Tamblyn.
Well, now this is your second book of
This is a book of poetry and prose. I guess it's prose, but my writing mentor was like, this is not prose, and he speaks 5 languages, so I was like, oh God, it's not, what is it? He's like, it's essays. Well, then fine, I don't give a shit. It's some kind of long form of writing in which I spew feelings. Anyway, that's what it is, and it's called Bang Ditto.
Where does that title come from?
The title is a poem that's in the book, and I decided to use it as the title of the book because I felt like it was reflective of the pieces inside and also the cover photo. The photograph is a picture of that my friend Matt Wignall, who does a lot of photography for the Cold War Kids and some rock bands. We had this idea to do this sort of Diane Arbus-esque photo where half of me was wearing no makeup at all, just hair down the way I look when I get out of the shower, and then the other half all done up like I'm going on a red carpet, and to sort of have me holding this very still face and to show the two sides. So that's what it is. So the concept of Bang Ditto was that one side is as powerful as the other. So one side is a bang, you know, is an explosion, is this big, beautiful, glamorous, expensive face, and the other one is a ditto, which is equally as powerful, just not visually in the way that we're used to seeing it. So that was the concept, because a lot of the poems in the book are very much about the about perception and about the personal and the private, as opposed to the professional and public. Those are a lot of pieces in it.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because it occurred to me as I was reading, I suspect a lot of the things that you say in these poems are meant as metaphors, maybe not meant to be taken quite so literally.
Yeah, I think there are definitely pieces that are like that. But then, you know, some of them are very literal, like the poem from my dad in there, Fell Off, which was, there's a great example of, and that was written as an email. I read this thing on IMDb that someone had written about my dad, and, you know, I've read plenty of bad things about myself, and you kind of, as a woman, I think it's much easier to grow a thick skin. You're much more used to that. And my dad is pretty sensitive, and he doesn't even know what IMDb is. I mean, he's of the older generation. He's going to be 75 this year. And so I felt this protective anger just glaze over me, and I wrote him this email, which is really about my feelings about myself, but inverted and came out about him because of my feelings about him, and I'm very close with my dad. So it was basically, this guy had said that my dad had done a bunch of, he was one of the most underrated actors of all times, and then did a slew of very bad films and fell off the face of the earth. So I go into this whole metaphor about falling off the face of the earth, and what does that really mean? And, you know, maybe it wasn't so much a fall as it was a tumble. And I really sort of put a lot of metaphor in about my dad being a dancer, and also the idea that no face is beautiful. No face is naturally perfect. You know, even the people who don't wear makeup are still liars on the inside, or they still have secrets, or they're still being fake in some way. And so I go into a long metaphor about that, about falling off the face of the earth and what the face of the earth holds. So there's one that's shrouded in, metaphor, but there's a very literal feeling, I think, about that poem.
What a great Valentine to your dad, though.
I know. It's pretty nice. I do love my dad.
And I got to tell you, that was something else that, I mean, in this era of Mommy Dearest, where the thing seems to be to write about how bad your parents were and what a terrible life you had, it was nice to read something like that.
My dad and I have always been very close, as well as my mom. My parents have still been married. They've been married for 30 years now. And I'm very close with both of them, which is so interesting, because people always ask me, like, why are you so, how did you become so normal? Or how did you get to be so normal, so down to earth, so level-headed? And I'm like, that is such a cruel thing to say. Why would you say that? I'm an actress. I'm an artist. You're making me sound like I knit for a living. No offense to those people who knit and read this or watch this program or listen to this program.
Hey, we have some excellent knitters in our audience.
Yeah, I can fucking crochet with the best of them. I will kill a crochet. I'm with you on that. No, but my, you know, that's basically how I felt about it. But
there was one line in one of the poems. There's an Amber Alert out for the identity that's missing from someone who has spent their whole life pretending to be other people for a living. I don't. That line really struck me.
Yeah, I mean, that poem was reworked a bunch of times, and that's based, again, my dad is the king of great, ridiculous, cheesy puns and metaphors, and that's why I love him, is there'll be some really upsetting experience that happens where I really want this part, and everybody knows I'm perfect for it, but the director happens to think I am 5 pounds overweight. That is literal things I've heard, and many actresses have heard that. I'm telling you. So my dad will send an email, right, that just says, if you're going through hell, step on the gas. And you're like, Dad, that doesn't carry, that's nothing but awesomely funny. What? That doesn't help me. It doesn't help me lose 5 pounds. But he's always just kind of taken this really light, you know, approach to some of the darker things that I've gone through, and certainly I'm sure all actresses have. So that poem is called If You're Going Through Hell, and then the first line of the poem is Step on the Gas, and it goes through this whole thing about driving through hell, a metaphor through driving through hell. And in the original poem, it was all about me. Everything was about me. The whole poem was a metaphor about me, and it was in the first person narrative. And then I kind of, you know, reading it a couple years later, went, you know, this is really not about me. This is about not only all women, but certainly all actresses. And there are people that go through way worse things than me, you know, publicly, and trying to just hold their privacy or you know, hold their dignity for that matter. And so I wanted to really make it a poem about what it's like to go through hell, and not even just for actors or actresses, but for women in general. That's what that poem is really about for me.
After this short break, Amber Tamblyn explains why her poetry means more to her than an Oscar nomination.
Start your day with Now I've Heard Everything.
We post new episodes every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 5 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time.
Subscribe now so you'll have something fresh to listen to and get your day going.
Now back to my 2009 conversation with Amber Tamblyn.
It almost strikes me that your poetry helps you get through the things that you have to go through.
Yeah, it definitely does. It's I've had a lot of people ask me, you know, what do you like better, acting or poetry?
Why does it have to be a choice?
Because that's what people got to ask you when they work for Us Weekly. They don't know what else to ask you. That and what are you wearing?
I guess this week, have you been with Tiger Woods? But that's a whole other thing for them.
Totally. I actually just did a show at the Noorican Cafe in New York City, and that was, I put that on my bio. I said that I did not said like that I was I had appeared on Deaf Poetry Jam a record 49 times, and that I had won the National Book Award for people who can't win National Book Awards 3 times, and then I said I don't know if Tom Cruise is gay, and I have not slept with Tiger Woods. So there you go. It's funny you brought that up twice now.
Well, all right. People should know that this book was these poems that are in here. You didn't just sit down one day and decide, you know what? Today I'm going to write a book of poetry. This covers quite a span of time.
Mm-hmm. Well, this book, let me go way back, back in time. When I was a kid, about 11 or 12 years old, I'd been writing a bunch, and my sort of writing mentor is a family friend of my parents, Jack Hirschman, who is the poet laureate of San Francisco up until, I think, last year. Now Diane DePrima is, but I had grown up around a lot of poets and musicians and a lot of artists, and so I had always been influenced, but I started writing around that age, 10, 11, 12. And Jack, I wrote this one poem called Kill Me So Much, which was this sort of political ode to the kind of writing that he did. And he loved it and had it published in a small magazine called Cups, which is an inset, I think, in the San Francisco Chronicle. And so after that, I had this about, you know, after seeing my name printed and published, it was this really exhilarating, exciting thing. Even for a kid, you know that that's, there's your name in this thing that's big and important and exciting. And so I, all through high school, I would make chapbooks. I, not a lot, but I have two that I made in high school. And then, you know, and then Joan of Arcadia happened, and I, my success sort of became very large. And I got an offer from Simon & Schuster to publish my full work, which I know would not have happened if it weren't for Joan of Arcadia, but I jumped on that so quickly because that was how I was going to get it out there. That was, like, the best possible way, and so I did it. So we published my full work, which I think that book's called Free Stallion. It came out, I think, in 2005. That is a really fucking great book, and I don't give a shit what anybody thinks about me as an actress. They can suck it, because that is a good book. And if you don't agree with me, you can go talk to Lawrence Ferlinghetti, who read it and quoted it on the back. You can go talk to any poet who agrees that that is a great book of work for showing a young female voice sort of coming into her own and trying to find your personality amongst people who, for a living, don't have personalities and have to embrace other personalities, not of their own.
But having said all that, there is no equivalent in poetry, on the same scale anyway, as the Academy Awards, the Golden Globes, the Emmys. There are awards for poetry, but they don't have the same kind of glitz and glamour and...
That stuff, people I know don't even take that stuff seriously. I don't know who takes that. Well, I mean, I'm sure there are people, but look at the Academy Awards this year. They expanded. Now 10 films can get voted for Best Picture. You know why they did that, right? They did that because studios pressured them, because when you have a stamp on it that says nominated for Best Picture, you sell more DVDs. That has nothing to do with quality over quantity. All that has to do with is being able to sell more because we're in a recession, it's been a bad time. So even something as prestigious as the Academy Awards has, you know, has its downfall, has its side to that. It's, you know, it's definitely not the same as a lot of amazing, literary awards that you can get, including, you know, the Pulitzer, which is such a huge thing, but there's many, many, many different amazing, even just getting published in something like, you know, Poets and Writers. That's amazing. That's a huge feat. Getting a poem published in the New Yorker. That's a huge feat. That to me, if I had got a poem in the New Yorker, that would be bigger to me than if I was nominated for an Academy Award.
Really? Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
There's no trophy that goes without that you can put on your mantle and say, wow, look at this, I got an Oscar.
Yeah, there totally is. It comes in the form of a magazine that you frame and you say, I was in the New Yorker. That's for me. There might be some other really great writer that's like, screw the New Yorker, I'm writing a screenplay. You know, I want an Academy Award. I guess it's all a perception, right? It's all about where you come from and what you've done. I find the falsities of my industry trying to take itself seriously more funny. That's all. And I find literature and poetry to be a really, really important art form that's been left behind in a lot of different ways. And I love it, and I read all forms of poetry, and I'm always buying books off of Amazon and anywhere I can, and reading as much as I can. And I think it's a really, really amazing art form, one of the best.
You have a website, right?
My longtime website is called amtam.com, A-M-T-A-M, which I've had since I was, like, 13. And you only know that because I would never name something Amtam. That's clearly a childhood nickname. When I was, like, a kid, my mom was like, let's call it Amtam. So that's what that is.
Please, it works.
Yeah, please don't call me Amtam in person. I'll be very sad and upset.
Amber Tamblyn will be 41 in May. Her most recent movie role was in 2023's You Hurt My Feelings. Now you can get a copy of Bang Ditto by Amber Tamblyn by tapping the link in our show notes or by going to our website, heardeverything.com. Now we may earn an Amazon commission if you make a purchase. Heardeverything.com is where you can also hear my 1991 interview with another popular actress who also writes Ally Sheedy.
I love doing that one, the Short Circuit movie. It was a lot of fun, and a lot of kids I know really loved it. At the same time, I do not feel like I would be continually fulfilled in my life if I was doing only that kind of role.
And my 1998 conversation with the popular musician who's also been writing since she was a child, Suzanne Vega.
I've been writing for a long time. I started to write poems and that sort of thing when I was 6 or 7 and kept all of them. Someone asked me recently, why did I keep all of them? And I guess it's because I must have had a wish that they would be published at some point. And I have more than 40 journals at home.
And of course, we post new episodes of Now I've Heard Everything every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And you can find us everywhere you listen to podcasts. And thank you so much for listening. Next time on Now I've Heard Everything, one of the many interviews I did over the years with the man whose writing scares the crap out of us, my 2004 conversation with Dean Koontz.
Character is what makes a book memorable. It can have the best plot in the world, it can be thrilling, it can be this, it can be that, but what you walk away from and remember 10 years from now is that character beat touches you.
That's next time on Now I've Heard Everything. I'm Bill Thompson.